already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are discussing Tuesday, April 2nd to Friday, April 5th. Curtis is finally standing and walking towards Portia at the fireplace, and he is now walking with assistance of a cane. When Stella saw him standing up in the living room, I was so happy to see her so happy. I mean, Stella was thrilled. I could hardly believe Curtis didn't want to share this news with Portia. But Stella reminded him that keeping secrets almost led to him and Portia getting divorced in the first place. From here, Curtis and Trina go over to Bobby's, where they have hired a new manager named Hunter Cruz. Jocelyn is working the counter when Trina and Curtis walk in and the whole restaurant claps for them. Felicia says congratulations to Curtis, and Trina says how proud of him she is. Jocelyn walks over to join them, and Curtis puts together that her and Dex broke up, then gives her a little bit of advice. Okay, Curtis. Then, of course, Dex walks in the place, and Jocelyn has to wait on him. That's the worst. Stella, meanwhile, is over at the cafe when Tracy joins her, and they discuss inclusion and how it feels to be a woman of a certain age with magazines like Crimson out. Listen, we need these conversations because we are aging every day and all of our perspectives are valid. No matter how many new faces of Crimson there are, there's always going to be people of all different ages reading the magazine. Also during this conversation, Tracy lets Stella in, a little bit at least, about her feelings on Gregory. Tracy and Stella being friends is definitely something I am on board with. Let's get them hanging out a little bit more. I love these conversations. Now, there were some conversations I didn't like so much, such as Dex wandering into the PCPD to talk about joining the force. But the way he was talking kind of got me a little concerned, saying he needs to be a part of something bigger and working with a team. I don't know, it was just giving cult-like vibes. So when he took the paperwork and went to Bobby's, of all places, to look it over, that's when Jocelyn had to wait on him, and he tells her all about it. I still don't really understand this. I don't know how joining the police force is going to help him or save him from Sunny in any way. Anna seems to think that this will protect Dex, but I mean, will it? So Jocelyn, not being able to keep this to herself for much longer, has a cooking date with Carly and Donna. Jason's name gets brought up, and then Michael and Wiley show up, and Jocelyn ushers the kids into the living room so Carly can ask Michael about Jason. Michael tells her the whole truth, tells her everything, and it all circles back to Sunny, of course, and they both think that Ava living with Sunny is weird, but they focused on Sunny's feelings towards Jason being an FBI informant. And shortly after, Willow walks in the kitchen and Carly has a chance to thank her for helping Jason. They also talk about the risk that Willow took by taking those medications from the hospital, and I'm glad that they did. A lot of people have put themselves at risk for Jason. And yes, he has done plenty to save people's lives, but that doesn't make it right. So speaking of, Jason goes to Anna's office, and Anna thinks that they have mutual goals, meaning to bring down Pikeman, figure out who's behind it all, but Anna is not in on that investigation with Jagger. So this is when Anna invites Jagger in, and Jason just starts screaming at him, and those scenes were pretty intense, and he had a point. He used him because of his past that Jason doesn't remember. And also, if you knew him that well, why would you put him in that position? Was it truly either do this or go to prison or Carly goes to prison? I really hope that whatever proof they have on Carly, Jason has seen it. And I don't understand why he can't discuss it with Diane because Carly's also a client. Jagger leaves, and Anna, making sense of the whole situation, decides to go down to Pentonville and visit Jack Brennan. So it's very clear that Brendan is trying to get under her skin. She's really trying not to let him. But to Anna, it's very frustrating that it's like she has the information in front of her. She just needs to confirm it. And I still can't get over Valentin running the show right now. I'm still running with my theory that Valentin's bigger plan is to win Nina back. But will he be able to before she has a revenge hookup with Drew? What is going on over there? Drew is in Nina's office, and they're having this, like, enemy flirting thing. They're both staring into each other's eyes, saying that they need each other or something. Like, it was so weird. Then Nina starts provoking Drew about Jason, and I'm still confused why that would be a soft spot. I really don't think we need a Drew versus Jason anything in GH. I think they could lead separate storylines and come together when they need to for maybe some Quartermain stuff. Either way, Nina is trying to twist in the knife, but after this back and forth bickering, she tells Drew that there is a wellness article that she's got to get through for the next issue. And Drew puts his head down and kind of asks her to send him the article. And they have a weird exchange about it. I just don't understand. It really seems like they're heading for a revenge hookup. Nina gets one more office visitor this week, and it's Christina, of all people. And she has come to say that Sunny was happy with her. I don't understand why Christina needs to involve herself in this. Like, just stay out of your dad's business. And just then, Maxie strolls in with Blaze. And Blaze is acting like, what, she's never met Chrissy before? And then when she hears that Blaze is going to be the new face of Deception, Chrissy has a very passive-aggressive line about it and walks out. And this is where we got an excellent scene between Maxie and Nina, talking about how desperate Nina is to keep Sunny. Ugh. This is why you love Maxie, because she will tell you and she does not care. It's the best. So when Drew left Nina's office, I guess he went to his own office because him and Jordan have a meeting about Aurora and kind of talking up the city, cleaning up the city's image, trying to paint Port Charles in a more positive light. And Jordan's having such a good time, she suggests that they hang out more often. Honestly, do it. Better than a revenge hookup with Nina. If we have to put Drew with somebody and it's a choice between Nina and Jordan, clearly Jordan is the better woman and better for him. I think Jordan could really bring out the best in Drew and we could get a refreshed Drew. Doesn't necessarily need to be the happy-go-lucky, everything is great Drew that we had before. But we could have a hybrid of some sort. I mean, if Sunny got to be a Mike hybrid Sunny. But of course, what little bit of flirting gets interrupted when Jagger bursts in Drew's office. Like, can he not? And he starts asking about Jason. So of course, Jordan stands by her man. I mean, Drew. But Jagger is not believing that Drew and Jason have not had contact. I mean, obviously he does not know the history and all he's thinking is these guys are brothers, these guys are twins, of course they would be close. So I can understand it from that point of view. But yeah, Drew is like, I would tell you where he is if I knew. I would turn him in, I would do whatever I need to do. Like Drew has no loyalty to Jason at all. The best loyalty I've seen recently is Dante and Chase. As Dante is waking up and exonerating Jason, Chase goes down there and asks Dante to be a groomsman. Of course, Dante's gonna do it, but shortly after, Sam arrives, and then Stella right after to announce that Dante can go home. We then see Christina stroll in, and she talks to Dante about Sunny, and they both also think it's weird that Ava lives there now. So this is interesting. We have Chrissy and Dante and Michael and Carly, four people very close to Sunny who think it's weird that Ava is living there. When Christina leaves, Sam tells Dante that she blames Jason for putting Danny in danger, and Dante's trying to get her to see the other side of things, and she's really not trying to hear it, but Dante is kind of standing up for Jason, which is very interesting. I don't know if that's because of the most recent time Jason has saved his life, or if that's just because of his own history with Jason. Phone calls are made around town. Olivia gets the call, and Cody and Sasha hear it as they are working the horse stalls. I guess that's the new thing for them. Olivia, of course, is going to bring Dante and the family some food and get a cake for Tracy's birthday. And we find out that Sasha is a good cook. So as Dante is being discharged, Blaze goes to the hospital to talk to Christina about what happened in Nina's office and the deal with deception. Blaze apologizes for not telling Chrissy sooner about everything, and she admits that the fashion world is really unknown to her, so she's kind of been keeping to herself about it. Christina assures her that Maxie will definitely be there for her, and then Blaze is the one who brings up keeping her private life private, and she blames her mom. But the way she was portraying it earlier in Lucy's office was that she was on board with it. I don't know, maybe this will be a continuing story, but we'll see. I mean, how private she's going to keep her relationship with Christina. I mean, eventually, Christina's going to have a lot of attention on her. But for now, I guess Christina's just going to go along with it. So Dante and Sam head back to the penthouse. The kids start coming home from school, and Rocco lets us know that Danny hung back because he had something to do. Well, Sam was freaking out. She is going to get Danny to rebel so hard and find himself in real trouble. Also, is it not part of getting your phone taken away that you're also not allowed to go anywhere without your guardian knowing about it? Like, isn't it implied if you aren't able to ask to go somewhere, then the answer is no? Maybe I was raised different. But Sam cannot tell Danny he can't see his father, especially at 14. That's such a tricky age. Danny probably already feels like he lost too much time with Jason, and now he's at that pivotal age where this is going to be a big influence on him. Other things we saw around the hospital were Gregory and Tracy talking at the nurse's station, and Tracy admits to Gregory that he's not bad to look at. I absolutely loved that scene. I was smiling from ear to ear. It was adorable. Liz ushered him into an exam room where he let her know that he wants to keep his patient life and private life separate, and she totally understands. But now the only way the family can get updates is if Gregory tells them himself, which they're a little bummed about, but hey, I get it. No matter what is going on with you medically, if you're of sound mind, you should be able to have your privacy. We also saw Terry back this week. She helped Tracy with her annual exam that Stella pushed her to get. Hope to see more of her around. We did hear of Yuri's name last week, I think it was, but we didn't see him. So I really hope for Brooklyn and Chase's wedding, we get to see Terry and Yuri together. Oh, and I guess everything is just back on for the wedding. I really don't understand what's happening there. It was pushed up, now it's not. We're going to wear Lila's dress, then we're not. Then we're going to try to have it saved. And I looked up what a crinoline was, and it's the petticoat. It's the structure that goes underneath of a larger skirt to make it look full. A lot of people would call it like a ball gown type of skirt. So if that's the only part of Lila's dress that we can save, why are we bringing Lila's dress into this at all? So it's a part of the dress you cannot see. Why bring it up? I would have really loved if they could have redone the bodice for Brooklyn, like just that top portion that goes to about like your stomach. They could have put a whole different skirt on the bottom. They could have taken the sleeves off. They could like they're... So many different ways they could have altered the dress if they still had the original one on set. If they don't, and that's why we're doing all this, okay. But again, why bring it up at all? And as Brooklyn is figuring out dress details, she's late to a meeting with Blaze's mother, Natalia, who was talking to Sunny, of all people, at the Metro Court. But since their daughters are dating now, I guess it's appropriate we see them together. And Sunny kind of talks her through, you know, accepting Blaze and accepting her life and who she loves and how Blaze is not going to change. And I think Natalia responded well to it. But I also think Sunny was flirting with her, as he does with every new woman in town. Could you imagine if, like, in one night he kisses Ava and then kisses this Natalia woman and Nina sees both of them? And the last thing I'm going to talk about today is Heather Weber and the rest of the hospital drama. So Laura and Alexis have helped to draft up a plan for city employees to have GH healthcare, which according to them is great. So congratulations to Laura. But now Heather Weber is out of surgery and seemingly to be cured of insanity. I'm not really sure how this works. Portia had her restraints tightened. She said this woman is to be watched at all times. And Kevin walks in to assess Heather. Now, I also think that this would be a conflict of interest, but I guess in Port Charles, you know, anything can happen. So we're just to believe that Kevin is allowed to assess Heather. But is Heather faking this temporary clarity? Or did she actually have this cobalt poisoning, this metallosis that Kevin was talking about? Either way, Portia's not having it. She walks over to Kevin, Laura, and Alexis, screaming at them that they're insane for even thinking that Heather Weber should be out of prison or should somehow be absolved of her crimes. I do have to agree. It's one thing to be a little bit loopy. It's another to kill three people. I think it was three, right? Britt, Brando, and Rory. Were those the only three killed by the hook? Oh man, that's awful. I don't remember. But, you know, Portia does have a good point there. But if Alexis gets her law license back, do you think the first thing she's going to do is try to get Heather either exonerated or maybe put into Ferncliff or Shady Brook as opposed to Pentonville? Or maybe Heather gets the Spring Ridge treatment? I don't know. Either way, if we get more Heather, it'll be so interesting. I can't wait to see it. You can find me on Instagram at 66 Harborview Road, X at 66_view, and TikTok at 66_Harborview Road. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week.